Hi guys, welcome to our new podcast called Him and Her Productions. I'm Deborah.
And I'm Jack.
And today our episode is entitled Mixed Agendas.
So in this episode, we are going to be talking about the topics relationships, schools and mental health, all from the viewpoints of both a him and a her.
But before we start, this podcast today is sponsored to you by Podsthetic. Are you looking for some really cool, trendy, aesthetic AirPod cases? Well, head on over to www.podsthetics.com where you can purchase some beautiful, wonderful looking AirPod cases, from anime to Birkin bags to Off-White to Louis Vuitton, one of the biggest brands ever. Make sure you purchase them now because the offers are ending soon. And please make sure you refer them to a friend. Make sure you purchase them. And I can promise you, I can vouch that it's amazing. I've purchased some AirPod cases and there have been really good reviews on it. Trust me when I say that you will not be wasting your money when you purchase this beautifully made black-owned business. So please make sure you're ordering them now. Offers end soon.
Thank you, Deborah. I'll have to check it out. And now, welcome to the podcast.
So Jack, what do you want in a relationship?
Well, would like a girl who would like really understand me, and we would both feel happy and relaxed with each other, and you know, someone that just makes me smile on a daily, and we could just have so much fun. And they don't have to have like the same personality as me, like they can be different because I like to learn stuff from them, and just someone that really, you know, gets me, and we just get along really, really well, and we trust one another.
Yeah. Aww.
So what would you like from a relationship, Deborah?
Well, from a girl's point of view, it's pretty much the same thing as you would expect for a girl. But for me, I would personally just want just a guy that knows how to treat me right. Obviously, like, I don't want to be the one to feel hurt by him or have to check up on him every time to make sure he's not doing something that he shouldn't be in a relationship. I think a relationship is based on trust. So I feel like trust and loyalty is really important in a relationship, especially.
Yeah, and what you said about trust comes up in what I was going to answer for the next question, which was, what is your definition of a healthy relationship?
I'd say my definition of a healthy relationship is, well, like I said before, trust and loyalty, but also setting boundaries for each other. So not always checking up on each other like all the time, because that could be a bit claustrophobic. I feel like a healthy relationship, it's just got to be, you know, you're both doing your thing separately but together at the right time as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say basically the same thing. Trust, that is a really big part in it. You can't be with someone if you're gonna constantly be paranoid about what they're gonna do, like on a daily.
Yeah.
You have to let them have their space and breathe. Obviously you can be with each other, but you don't have to be with each other every part of the day. You know, they have their own lives.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
So what would you say are the stereotypes in a relationship? Because I know we've all got one at school and in general. Like, what would you say your stereotype in a relationship is?
Well, there's quite a few. I'd say, like, start off with one that a lot of people have talked about. It's about who pays for the first date. Because I know a lot of people are starting to become annoyed that it is men who do it a lot. So I just wanted to see your views on that.
Yeah, personally, from a girl's point of view, I don't mind who pays for the date first. I don't mind paying for the date first. I don't mind if he wants to pay for the date first. For me personally, I think it would be easier if we just split the bill. So yeah, he pays maybe my meal and I'll pay for his meal, you know, just equality.
And there's also, I mean, nowadays there's so many relationships that give boys a bad name and men. Because, I mean, I will admit, some of them do very stupid stuff. Like, and it's really aggravating for the people like me who would really care for someone and would treat them how I'd want to be treated.
Yeah.
So seeing girls go about saying like, oh, I hate men and stuff like that.
Men are trash.
I know they don't hate like all men, but it's just like annoying how I know I wouldn't do anything to hurt them, and it's just, yeah.
So Jack, what are your views on the LGBT community?
Well, I think, you know, we're all human, so we should all accept each other for who we are, who we love, because at the end of the day, love is love. Like, you may not have that sexual orientation, but it doesn't mean you can't, you know, accept them and get along with them, because they're no different to us. Like, I'm straight. Are you?
I'm straight.
Yeah, okay. So, but we're no different. We don't judge them for it. Like, at the end of the day, you can love who you love.
Yeah.
So, I want to ask, like, again, the same question, but what do you think of the religious views about it?
Well, as a religious person myself, I personally don't mind the LGBT community, but some may disagree with it just because for religious reasons, it's not deemed as pure, as right, because some people say it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and all those sayings. And to an extent, I agree, but at the end of the day, like you said, love is love. We can't stop them from loving a human being of the same gender, of the same sex, you know. At the end of the day, if you choose to love someone for the same sex, and as long as it's for the right reasons, then I think it's important. Because I actually have a friend who's religious, and she was a bit curious as to what sort of sexual interests she was into. And at first she dated boys, and recently she is now dating girls. So despite her religion, I do think that it all just relies on love. And as long as you pray to God about it, then, you know, I think love is love.
Exactly. So Deborah, what do you think, like, what would you say, what advice would you give to someone who likes another person, but they're too afraid to go and, you know, talk to them about it, go and tell them?
Well, step one, do not hide from them or run away from them whenever they come near, because they will notice. Learn that from experience. Personally, I just think if you like someone, you're gonna have to tell them eventually, because there's no point in hiding it and keeping it all in and never finding out if that person truly liked you back or not, if you never even tried. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just think if you like someone, talk to them, get to know them more before you decide you want a relationship with them, and then, you know, see how it progresses. And if the other person isn't interested, then, you know, you just gotta move on.
Yeah. So I think if you're really, like, you're terrified to go and ask them, obviously don't ask them, like, straight away. You should get to know them a bit. You should take it slower, you know, find out their interests, talk to them. But then if you're ready and you want to ask, there's no harm in asking. If they don't like you, there's plenty more fish in the sea, as they say. So really, if they're not interested and they're not the one for you, it's not something you should dwell on.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It can be hard to get over a person that doesn't feel the same way. It's hard to get over someone that's rejected you. But at the end of the day, you've got to have enough self-confidence in yourself to know that it's not a you problem. It's just a them problem that's not... Maybe they're not ready for a relationship. There could be specific reasons as to why they're not ready. And you've got to be able to get back up, you know, and just move on. Because that's just how life is, to be honest. Like, I've had my fair shares of rejection. I've been the one to reject people. So I know it from both sides and both perspectives. And yeah, I just think eventually you're going to have to move on anyways, because, you know, that's life.
Yeah, and don't make them feel like you're worthless, because you're not. And you should always have confidence to try again, because it's not the end of the world and it won't just end there. So, yeah.
A lot of people nowadays, especially in our generation, they're having relationships in school.
Yeah.
So how would you describe your school experience just in general?
Well, I can't remember a lot from primary school, but I know I didn't have a relationship back then. But in secondary, I had a few, but I wouldn't say they were proper ones. I'd say they were just like us saying we wanted to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know? And I mean, I feel like a lot of people in secondary school, they're not mature enough.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like it's just... Yeah, a lot of people take advantage that, oh, we're now in secondary school, we can, you know, have a relationship, do whatever. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of them didn't really understand, I feel like. And I know we were coming up to a point where we were becoming young adults and starting to understand, but a lot of them were just very immature with the whole young relationship thing.
I think the problem now is that some of them still are immature.
Yeah.
Like, even us people as, like, being in college, I feel like some of them are still a bit immature. But for me, personally, I did have a few relationships in school. Like, some of them were, like, me going to a different school from them. So most of the times we didn't go to the same schools. So it was easier, I guess, in a way, because it's not like we were always there together down each other's necks. But at the same time, it was kind of nerve-wracking because I didn't know if he was possibly cheating on me with another girl at another school. So I guess they're just boundaries that you have to have with each other and just trust, to be honest. So Jack, have you ever been bullied?
Well, back in primary school, you know, people probably think of little arguments between kids, but it affected me a lot because there was this boy who was in my class, always with him, and then I just, you know, in his eyes, I was, again, an easy target, and he just picked on me every day, and at first I didn't notice, but then he would start getting other people to then gang up on me, and he would sometimes, you know, my friends would be too scared to then go up against him, because back then we, you know, even though we were kids, none of us wanted to, you know, be hit by the bullet and stuff. So I took it for a while, and then it started getting physical and very verbal. So it was just like name calling and stuff, but obviously it hurt young me. So I told a trusted adult, and, you know, we got it sorted with, or I thought we did, and then it just carried on, and it really just, I feel like that also was a starting point for when my confidence started going down, because I was such a happy person in primary, and I was, you know, really happy with life and so excited, and then whenever he would, you know, do that, it would really affect me, and it would just put my mood down all the time. Yeah. And sometimes I didn't even want to go back. And there was one day when I think enough was enough, and he came up to me and he, you know, he grabbed my neck, and then he just started hitting me in the head, and I was like, I just feel like it was my, like, reflexes and my reactions, and I just whacked him around the face, and he fell on the floor and he started crying. And at first I was like, oh no, what have I done? But then later on, when, you know, my mum got involved, she was like, you know what, it's fine, you defended yourself, you put up with this for so long. He needed to understand how much it hurts someone and how much it can build up inside of someone. Obviously he was fine, he got told off for it, and so did I, but not as much as him because of everything he's done, and the teachers knew, like, all of it. And if anyone ever does this, like, this can happen in secondary school as well, but if ever this happens and people start calling you, like, a snitch or anything, just don't listen to them. Like, you need to tell someone. You can't just keep it locked inside of you, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So have you ever experienced this?
Yes, I actually have, in primary school as well, funnily enough. I don't really remember the ins and outs of it, but there was just this girl that was always on my case. You know, we'd sit next to each other and she'd just cause mayhem and drama. And I think one time she must have, I think she stepped on my foot really, really hard.
Ouch.
And obviously it really hurt, so I was like, ouch. And then spoke to my mum about it, took me to the hospital, I had to have a little bandage on, and then came back to school and everyone was like, oh my gosh, Deborah, what's happened? So I think it's not really a good feeling to have a bully. No. And, you know, my mum had to talk to her mum, you know, got the school involved, wrote letters, but eventually it was sorted out. And I just think you need to stand up for your bullies. You need to say, hey, enough is enough. And I like the fact that with your mum, she didn't mind the fact that you retaliated and that you fought back. Because if it was my mum, my mum's African. She's like, eh? you when somebody hits you, don't hit them back. So I knew for a fact that, yeah, okay, I can't hit them back. And sometimes it's easier to fight with your words rather than your fists, because with words, it can really strike them. It can hurt them more than if you were to physically hurt them. But like, even now to this day, I find it easier to argue with my words, because my words have more of an impact than if I was to just hit them or punch them or something.
Yeah, nowadays, I agree with you. Like, words can definitely do more. But back then, I guess, like, it had just been built up for so long, I wasn't thinking, and it just kind of happened. And all my past experience, I think, has also, it's made me become more of like a protective big brother. Because my sister, she went to the same secondary as me, and she's really fragile. Like, she's been through so much. And there was this girl who would constantly, like, pester her. She wouldn't leave her alone. And once tore a ligament in her finger.
Whoa.
Because my sister was cutting with scissors, and the girl grabbed the scissors and pulled them and somehow like tore a ligament in her finger. Nothing happened. Nothing. She only got excluded for 3 days. Like, I feel like that wasn't enough. Like, this girl had been doing it to so many other people. She's like, she was a walking tornado. Like, it just really wasn't fair for everyone. And I feel like, yeah, it really just affected me. And I just kept telling her to stand up for herself. And, like, she's not in the school anymore. She's homeschooled, but she's a lot happier now. And also, don't think of homeschooling as anything bad. Like, if you need to, if you can't do school anymore, then do it. You know, do whatever makes you feel better.
Yeah.
And make sure, you know, mental health feel better, because we don't want it getting affected at a young age.
Exactly.
So I know secondary school was pretty, you know, it had a popularity system, and the groups were split. Like, you had the nerds, you had the popular ones. So what type of like group were you in back then?
Ooh. Be honest, I don't really think I was in like the nerdy group or the popular group. I don't think we really had a clique in a way.
Yeah.
Like, with me, I was just around people that were not dweebs, but we're not popular, so we were kind of in the middle. So it was kind of easy for people to want to join our group, because we were kind of like the welcoming type to just welcome new people in and make them feel better and that sort of thing.
I feel like I wasn't. I had quite a lot of friends. Some weren't so popular, and then I had a couple that were of the popular status in secondary school. So I feel like I wasn't hated on as much as others. I feel like, yeah, I could have been in the middle, but maybe a bit away from the middle down to the not popular side, you know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't really think it matters.
No.
You know, like, it's just a group.
I mean, now in college, we're just all, you know, the same. We're just getting on with it because we're doing what we want now.
Yeah.
And I feel like, because I wasn't very popular either, I didn't have a lot of relationship experience and stuff. No one really liked me or took any interest in me. Because, yeah, I mean, I didn't have confidence in myself either. And I'm trying to build that up now. But, and I feel like it is getting better. Like, I'm meeting new people who are really appreciating me for who I am. So that's really, you know, boosting my confidence up.
Well, that's good. That actually kind of links on to my next question, which was, has there ever been a time when you've noticed your mental health changing?
Yeah, I think it was when I started secondary school. I can't remember a lot of year seven. I know I was pretty optimistic back then. But then as I started going on throughout the years, I was just becoming more, you know, sad and stressed and less confident with myself, because a lot of people saw me as an easy target. And luckily I had people there who would always like back me up and try and boost my confidence back up a bit. But I think I did really start, I definitely became insecure back in secondary school, and I just wasn't happy with myself a lot of the time. And that was because of what people would say and do that would really, you know, hurt me.
What kind of things would people say?
Well, you know, it's just all the immature stuff. Like, they would make fun of you for how you looked, make fun of you for what you do if you're not part of, you know, the status. Like, you weren't popular, basically.
Yeah.
And they would judge you for it, but at the end of the day, you're not any different from them. Like, we're all human at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and it's just, it was really stressful, because sometimes I just felt really, like, I just didn't want to go in, and it would really play on my mind, and I'd just get so stressed and anxious, and, but, you know, I got through it, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
That's good.
And you, did you ever notice your mental health starting to change?
Yes, definitely. I think for me, it was definitely in secondary school.
Yeah.
But I think some elements started creeping up towards the end of primary in a way, but it wasn't as severe until it reached secondary school, probably like year eight. And
yeah,
just a few things happened, me not getting along with the girls, because I used to go to a girls' school.
Mm.
So a lot of issues happened there. And then I moved schools to a mixed school, and I sort of noticed my mental health sort of deteriorating, so getting worse. And I didn't really know what to do about it, because it's when you're in that sort of mental state, you're not really sure what to do. You're not stable enough to know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's quite hard, because you can't really feel like you can tell anybody. And it's a bit hard, because you want to be able to tell someone, but, you know, it's the mental health. And I always call it like an inner demon playing inside of your head,
yeah,
constantly chanting negativity at you. So it's like it's almost telling you not to tell anyone about what you're going through. It's like it's feeding you that negativity. And I just think it's a really toxic path to go through.
Well, luckily for me, I had two people who were always there. I had my cousin, even though she wasn't in the same school as me, she would always like listen to me when I wanted to text her about anything and just get it off my chest. Because when something's playing in my mind, I just have to like let it out, and I need to talk about it to someone.
Yeah.
And in secondary school, I also had a friend who was quite popular. So we met in PE because we both didn't want to do anything. And he would always defend me and listen to me. And he just wasn't the same as everyone else. He was a lot nicer, and I'm still friends with him to this day. So it's really good, and I can still talk to them both whenever I have any, you know, worries or I'm ever anxious or anything. So, and I've met a lot of really nice new people who are helping, and one of them is you, Deborah.
Oh, thank you, Jack. I think it's really important to have like a close friend to talk to.
Yeah.
Like with me personally, from a girl's point of view, I would always write down in my diary, like I have a diary on my phone, so whenever I was going through stuff, I would just write it down, and it helped a lot. So if you ever feel like you don't have anyone to talk to, a good mechanism is to use a diary, whether that's on your phone or on an actual notepad. But in terms of the people that I did speak to, I spoke to my closest friends at the time, and they really helped me, because one of them were going through the same things that I were going through. So it really helped, because she could see things from my perspectives and I could see it from hers, and it was really helpful. And I just think it's really important to tell, at least if you can't tell your family, at least a close friend.
Yeah.
Because they will never judge you, and they're honestly so supportive.
And you should always tell someone who you trust. And I think it is good if you have someone who has a similar mindset and who has been through what you've been through, because you can really understand each other, and you know how each other are feeling, how deep it is, and it's how deep it eats you up inside.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, I think of the older generation nowadays, still don't really understand it, especially as in today's society it's happening a lot more, especially with social media, which I think ties to everything. Because social media, you're using it on your phone, you're using it for school as well, to communicate with other people, and also in relationships. Like whatever you post online could, you know, spark someone's interest in you, and you're just using it in your everyday life, and you're constantly checking on like your Instagram, your Facebook, for all those likes and comments. And I think we do focus on it a lot, like too much. I feel like we should really just focus on us and the real world, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say that social media does play a big part personally in your mental health?
Yeah, I feel like throughout secondary school, I was trying to, I think where I kept telling myself I wasn't good enough, I kept trying to be someone I wasn't. So I would always try and, you know, try to make myself fit in with the popular ones. And now looking back on it, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I should have just been myself. So I would always, you know, look at what I posted on, like, Instagram. Now I don't post on it, like, at all. I don't really care about it anymore. But I did, and I'd post it, and then I'd look back at it for too long, and then it would just turn, like, I would just start playing on my mind, like, oh, I don't like that anymore, just delete it straight away. But now it doesn't really matter about it anymore.
Yeah, I agree 100%, because I've been through the exact same thing that you've gone through, especially when it comes to posting. I feel like there's so much pressure to get likes, like a lot of likes, a lot of followers. You've got to have this amount of followers, this amount of likes. You've got to look that pretty. And I just think there's too much for our age. There's too much demand for likes and social status.
It's like you're constantly trying to please other people, and you're not focusing on who you are as a person and who your friends appreciate you for.
Exactly. For me personally, I do think social media plays a big part, especially in my mental health, because I have been cyberbullied before. There has been group chats made where they talk about me, you know, but at the end of the day, I do think that you're gonna have to pick yourself up.
Yeah.
Dust yourself down. Is that the word? Is that
dust
the saying?
Dust yourself off, I think.
I think that's the saying. At the end of the day, they have nothing on you. If they can't speak up with their words to say it to you physically and they have to write it down, then that just proves how weak they are as a person. And you're much stronger than that because you're the one that's ignoring them.
Yeah.
So
I feel like the one... Well, obviously, I feel like the bullies are the ones who are also a little bit insecure themselves, and they try and hide it by, you know, putting other people down. And that's something that a lot of people have talked about, like, you should never let them undermine you, because if you do, you're letting them take over you. Whereas if you don't, you are a lot stronger than them, and you can, you know, you can do well and actually be happy, because we should all be happy every once in a while or all the time. But
yeah, I agree 100%. I think in terms of mental health as a whole, it's not really the best thing to experience. And I do feel like there are some sort of stereotypes. I mean, Jack, do you want to explain from a boy's point of view?
So I feel like mental health, with people look at it nowadays, a lot of adults I've seen and other people, if someone comes out and says that they have a mental health issue, people are like, oh, you should just man up, you should get over it, get over yourself, you know. And that happens a lot in men, because in the past, you know, they're meant to be the dominant person of the family, you know, the protector of the family. And if they're seen as weaker than anyone else, you know, it is such a bad thing, but it's really not. And I feel like if you are really suffering and you need that help, you should go and get it. You shouldn't let any other person put you down, no matter your gender, no matter, you know, who you are. We all need to get the help, because it's our minds at the end of the day. And if we don't get help sooner, then later it's just going to get worse. And you should really get some help for it.
Yeah, I think in terms of mental health, it's easier just from a girl's point of view to express it more compared to how a boy would feel expressing it. Like, I've had many guy friends that have told me that they've gone through mental health problems. They felt so down and they felt like they can't talk to anyone about it. And I think it's horrible, because we live in a society where we should be able to voice out our struggles and what we're going through, irregardless of what gender we are. And I just find it so sad that they feel the need to have to hide how they're truly feeling. It's a horrible feeling. And that's all we have time for today, folks.
Thank you guys for listening in, and please stay tuned for more podcasts coming on later on.
He's been him.
She's been her.
And this is Him and Her Productions. And don't forget to check out Podsthetics. That is www.podsthetics.com to purchase some really cool, trendy AirPod cases. And they also sell iPhone cases for amazing deals. Offers are ending soon, so please don't forget to check them out and purchase some. Maybe you could buy one for your mom, for your dad, for your sister, for your friends, for your dog. Make sure you purchase them now to get amazing good deals. Like we said, offers are ending soon. So please show some love to a Black-owned business that's trying to really get out there and open her shell and open her business more to many wonderful viewers like yourself. Thank you.